Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Around the World in 70 Days on CJMQ 88.9 FM, where I discuss important current events and their relationship to our local community. I'm your host, Rhiannon, and I've selected several major current events. I will be discussing their connection and importance to the Eastern Townships. First, let's talk about some worldwide news you may want to be paying attention to. Rising tensions in Ukraine are leading to many countries questioning their role in the situation, Canada in particular. Let's first discuss what's happening over there. Russia has been building up military presence along its border with Ukraine. In response, NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, has increased support to Ukraine in the form of military aid, troops, and equipment, alarmed that Russia may invade the country soon. So what does Russia want? Essentially, Russia and Ukraine have had a historically tense relationship, especially after Ukraine became independent following the fall of the USSR in 1991. As such, Russia doesn't want Ukraine to become a member of NATO or for NATO to expand further east, fearing increased military operations close to its borders. This conflict has exponentially increased because of the augmentation of military personnel on both sides. Now, what's Ukraine's role in this situation? Ukraine believes that the international community is feeding the fire, rather than helping de-escalate the situation. The Ukrainian foreign minister encourages all to ignore, quote, apocalyptic predictions, as the U.S. warns conflict could happen, quote, any day now. Ukraine fears possible hysteria within its borders, as citizens may get increasingly worried as the international community predicts a crisis. So now for Canada's role in this situation. Canada has already removed non-essential staff and their families from the Canadian embassy in Kyiv, as well as moving troops west in the country, away from the border with Russia. Canada's Defense Minister Anita Anand is quoted as saying, "The safety and security of the armed forces is my top priority. Out of an abundance of caution, we are repositioning our troops." Canada also promised an aid package that includes non-lethal equipment and military training. Canada's role has been to attempt to calm the situation through diplomatic means, while still ensuring the safety of its people abroad, and to avoid any action that may escalate the situation. So how does this situation relate to our community? Well, in a general sense, Canadians expect its government to fulfill the expectations of a middle power, the most common preference for its actions on the global stage, which includes the reliance on diplomacy and support to the international community at large while avoiding conflict and war. Thus, many Canadians have criticized the government for not doing enough in this specific situation. According to the federal government's records, Canada has committed more than $250 million in developmental assistance to Ukraine, focusing largely on socio-economic programs, building democratic principles in Ukraine, and aiding in peace and security for Ukraine. One of the major goals in intergovernmental relations with Ukraine is to create, and I quote, "a more democratic, stable, and prosperous Ukraine." I also want to bring your attention to an important factor in Canadian politics, that Canada failed to win a seat on the UN Security Council in 2020, leading to the government rethinking its foreign policies and strategies. The rising tensions in Ukraine may lead to an opportunity for Canada to prove itself as a worthy participant in important UN actions. So, as you can see, Canadians have had a large stake in the state of Ukraine for years and years. So what I want to leave you with is a question for you to think about. What role do you think Canada should be playing in this situation? Do you believe that Canada should be putting in more effort, more people, and more aid? Or do you think Canada should pivot to a hands-off approach to the rising tensions? Now let's get into some national news. This week, I'm going to be discussing the Freedom Convoy, a protest located in Ottawa and other major cities across Canada. First, let's all get on the same page and go over a timeline of this event. On January 15th of this year, the vaccine mandate for cross-border truckers came into full effect. On January 22nd, the Canadian Trucking Alliance released a statement in response to several protests around the country, saying, and I quote, "The Canadian Trucking Alliance, CTA, does not support and strongly disapproves of any protests on public roadways, highways, and bridges. CTA believes such actions, especially those that interfere with public safety, are not how disagreements with government policies should be expressed." Then, On Friday, January 28th, trucks started to arrive from across the country into downtown Ottawa to protest at Parliament Hill. This was originally organized to protest the vaccine mandates imposed on truckers. By Saturday, downtown is gridlocked with trucks, cars, and protesters. The Rideau Centre, a large mall in downtown Ottawa, closes at 3 p.m. that day due to largely unmasked crowds. Public transport is forced to reroute to avoid downtown, and passengers have long delays in travel. Police estimate approximately 3,000 trucks and up to 15,000 protesters participated on that Saturday. Hateful and anti-Semitic imagery is seen in the crowds, including yellow stars, the Confederate flag, and swastikas. Several people report pockets of violence, and the Shepherd of Good Hope homeless shelter is harassed. In a statement released that Saturday, the Canadian Trucking Alliance says, and I quote, "To those in the trucking industry that have chosen to participate in this protest regarding cross-border mandates, we ask that you engage in a peaceful demonstration today and then leave the City of Ottawa to avoid any issues to the welfare and safety of the citizens of Ottawa." According to the Ottawa Citizen, the following Sunday, Ottawa Police launches investigations into the, quote, desecration of the National War Memorial and Terry Fox statue. On January 31st, Ottawa paramedics confirmed protesters threw rocks at an ambulance and used racial slurs against a paramedic, leading to a police escort being provided for all further calls for safety. On February 2nd, Freedom Convoy organizers issue a statement saying they plan to remain in Ottawa as long as it takes for all COVID-19 mandates to end. Ottawa Police Service Deputy Chief Steve Bell says at a press briefing, the remaining protesters are highly volatile and the activities have shifted away from a protest to an occupation. On February 4th, Ottawa Police announced that they are enacting a surge and contain strategy moving forward. At the time of recording, the protest has not left downtown Ottawa. Now let's discuss the impacts of this protest on our local community. On February 5th, a solidarity protest began in Quebec City as well as other large cities around the nation. Police closed roads in front of the National Assembly to traffic, causing protesters to walk. In response to the growing protests around the country, and specifically in Quebec, Premier François Legault said, quote, "Yes to protest, no to mayhem, no to preventing citizens from functioning normally." Quebec City Police said that they would, quote, "respect the right to protest. Protesting is a democratic right guaranteed by the Charter of Rights and Freedoms," said Quebec City Police Deputy Director André Turcotte Wednesday. As we can see, there are several different opinions in our community and province in general over the level of protest that will be accepted. As such, I leave you with several questions to think about. Do you agree with Premier Legault's sentiment of yes to protest, no to mayhem? Where would you draw the line between the two? Let's get into some provincial news. As recently announced by Premier Legault, Quebec plans a lifting of restrictions in stages, with most being lifted by mid-March. Premier Legault announced several changes with the idea in mind that Quebec needs to, quote, "learn to live with the virus." He said, quote, "The population is fed up. I'm fed up. We're all fed up. But the reason we resisted easing restrictions until today was because there was too much risk. Right now, we can take a calculated risk and finally turn the page." Here's a short overview of the projected lifting of restrictions. On February 12th, there will be no limit for private gatherings. Restaurants can seat up to 10 people or people from 3 different addresses per table, and all caregivers can visit a loved one in a group home with a vaccine passport. On February 14th, gyms and spas can reopen at half capacity. Indoor sports and recreation activities can resume for everyone, while competitions and tournaments remain prohibited. Outdoor shows can host up to 5,000 people. On February 21st, all stores will be allowed to open at full capacity. Places of worship can accommodate up to 500 people, up from the maximum of 250 before. Amphitheaters can operate at half capacity. Theaters and showrooms will be allowed to open at half capacity. Reopening of recreation centers at half capacity. And conventions and assemblies can resume at half capacity. On February 28th, teleworking will no longer be mandatory. Restaurants must close by 1 a.m. Bars, pool halls, and casinos can open with half capacity, but with no dancing and karaoke. Places of worship and showrooms can open at full capacity. sports competitions and tournaments will be allowed with no participant limits, and theaters, cinemas, and some sports venues can operate at full capacity. On March 14th, bars can allow dancing and karaoke at full capacity. Restaurants, showrooms, and large venues can open at full capacity. Activities in a social nature in a rented room can resume normally without capacity limits as long as everyone has a vaccine passport or a maximum of 20 people without the vaccine passport. Places of worship, funerals, wakes, weddings will have full capacity or a maximum of 50 people at a time without a vaccine passport. And large venues and arenas with more than 10,000 people can operate at full capacity. These recent announcements and pivot towards a learn-to-live mentality shows a shift of attitudes in the provincial government from the past few months and even years. This will have a stark impact on our local community with a return to very limited restrictions by mid-March. We are nearing the end of this week's episode, but I do want to leave you with a few pieces of positive news before I go. So let's begin. In the eastern townships, the number of hospitalizations is continuing in a downward trend, with a drop of nearly 30 people in intensive care since last week. I also have some good news in Canadian sports at Beijing. The Canadian women's hockey team won against the US, putting them in the top spot in Group A. Canadian ski jumping team members won the bronze medal in the first ever mixed team ski jumping competition at an Olympic Games, Canada's first medal ever in the sport. And Olympian Keegan Messing competed in the men's free skate final dressed in red and black flannel to the absolute delight of fellow Canadians. And that's all I have for you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Rhiannon with CJMQ 88.9 FM, and I'll talk with you next week.